Will you turn in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 6? Romans chapter 6. Beginning at the first verse, this is the word of God. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may abound? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This morning, we will continue our topical study about our union with Christ. The question, since we are saved by grace, shall we continue to sin that we might get more grace? Some might think that this is a legitimate question because it appears that in Romans 5:21, Paul is suggesting that this is the way to receive more grace. Let's look at it, 5:21. Well, actually, it started at 5:20. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But our Apostle Paul brings clarity to this question. Can we who are born of God and are in union with God continue in sin? The Apostle Paul quickly retorts in our first verse, certainly not. And he goes on to explain the nature of what has happened to the Christian. The Christian is to die to sin. How can a Christian die to sin, you ask? Sin is around you. Sin is in you. The flesh and the spirit are at war, and the two will never agree. How are we to die to sin? The Christian is dead to sin's control over him. Sin is no longer the master of God's people. The Christian has been purchased out of the kingdom of darkness, which is sin, and has been placed into the kingdom of light by the blood of Christ. Christians are free from sin's domination. The grace of God that brings salvation has many implications. Just a few. A Christian has a new heart, a new appetite. The new heart, that heart of stone, done away with. He's been given a heart of flesh, a heart that's receptive of the gospel, the things of God, the things that please God. A new appetite. I want to do what's I hunger and thirst for righteousness. I hunger to please my Savior. I want to live according to his word. And whenever I find myself outside of his word and of his will, I'm not at peace. A new inclination. I have a new inclination. As a Christian, I'm inclined to walk the walk that I talk. I'm inclined to live out the purposes of God because of his Holy Spirit indwelling me. So grace is not a license to sin. Grace is God's free gift from sin's penalty and sin's control. We look at verses 2 and 4 through 4. And the question says again, let's read that. May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. How can you be dead to something and continue to live in it, is the question. You can't. Do you really understand the transfer of power that occurred on the cross? Do you? Christ conquered sin and defeated the devil who initiated it. When a Christian is baptized into Christ, he too becomes conqueror with Christ. The Christian is buried with him through baptism into death and raised with him to walk in the newness of life to the glory of God. My Christian brothers and sisters, when you entered into that water the day of your baptism, you were testifying to the world, not to God. To the world that you are dying to the old way. The old attitudes. Contrary walk. And coming up a new person. That's what you demonstrated in the baptismal pool. No longer controlled by your sinful flesh. When you're baptized into Christ Jesus, verse 3, new identity. You've got a new commander-in-chief now. Your allegiance is obedience to Christ. Christ died on a cross for the sin of his people. And so since he has done that for us, we are to live for him. We move and have our being in him. The Christian is in union with Christ because he was with Christ on the cross. He is no longer a slave to sin when he's died with Christ. He is no longer obligated to sin. No longer Satan's ambassador. The Christian is considered dead to sin because he's alive for Christ. You can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. We are united with Christ. And because of the union with Christ, not because of laws, because of the union with Christ and what Christ stands for, we as a people live to glorify him. Paul goes on to explain to us that if we have been baptized into Christ, that union, we have a uniqueness that is different from the world. The control that sin had is now broken. The Christian is not under bondage to sin. And since this union is divinely conferred, he now yields to Christ. Divinely conferred on you, Christian. Christ came to you. You couldn't come to him. He came to you and placed on you his righteousness for the purpose of living out that union with him. Note how Paul explains this in verses 5 through 7. He says, for if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed, delivered, set free from sin. Christ's death on the cross was payment in full for sin's penalty. And he says we are in union with him in death and resurrection. Our old man has been crucified with him. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is already now a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. New things have come. A new beginning. A new focus. I'm in union with Christ. The person we were before our union with Christ is dead. The old contrary, disrespectful, disobedient, and rebellious person is dead. Turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Let's see the scripture. Let the scripture do the talking. Beginning at verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once, past tense, walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. If you are Christian, you are in union with Christ because he dwells in you. Romans 8, 9 and 11. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You have no obligation to sin. You owe sin nothing. And therefore, you must not allow sin to control your behavior. You must apprehend the full meaning of your union with Christ. God's grace to you is through your union with Christ. Ephesians 2 and 4 brings about clarity in that. Ephesians 2 and 4 says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Excuse me. Made us alive. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up, verse 6, with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Grace and Christ are synonymous. You can't have one without the other. You can't have Christ without grace, and you can't have grace without Christ. That's the significance of a union. You have a new leader. Sin, yet remaining, but not reigning, is under new management. Sin is under new management. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit is always at work in you, leading you on the path of holiness in union with Christ. You are now becoming slaves of righteousness. You were a slave of wickedness and rebellion. But now, because of this union, you are a slave of righteousness. When you are baptized into Christ, there is a spiritual transformation that takes place. You become united with Christ, and in this union, you become one with him. As he lived to glorify his Father, so should you. He denied himself, so should you. He was about his Father's business, so should you. My fellow Christian, remember your position in this union with Christ. You are dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. The three things that I like for you to focus on from this text. One, crucified with Christ. No longer under the dominion of sin. Yes, we struggle with the flesh, and there are times when we fail God miserably. But that does not change who we are in Christ. Paul puts it beautifully in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, when he says, 3 and 12. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not satisfied with mediocrity. I'm not satisfied with my sin because I'm in union with Christ. And he has called me in this union to be a holy person. Because of our unity with Christ, we must keep our flesh subject to Christ. Paul says in another part of the scripture that we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Second, you are cleared of sin's penalty because you've been justified. God's justice was satisfied at the cross when Christ took upon himself our sin. A great exchange took place on Calvary. All the sins of his elect were placed on his son, and all of his son's righteousness was placed on his elect. No one can bring any charge against God's elect. Romans 5 and 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Because of this reconciliation, there is peace with God. That's what the union does. The war is over between God and his people because of the union with Christ. We are anchored in Christ, and God's wrath no longer is against us. And the third thing I wish you would focus on from the text: controlled by the Holy Spirit. Because of the supernatural regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, your desires are different. Instead of being indifferent to sinful behavior, you become progressively more sensitive to this ungodliness by the Spirit who leads you to righteous behavior. John puts it, Apostle John, chapter 1, says this. 1 John, chapter 3, verse 4. Everyone everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. And let me qualify that. He's talking about one who continues to practice as a way of life, a way of living, an habitual, not one who falls and gets up and repents, but one who continues to practice sin and say, I'm born again. He says, no one who abides in him, verse 6, sins habitually. I'm adding that to the scripture. That's what it means. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. But the one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him and he cannot sin because he's born of God. That's what union is all about. I'm born of God. I'm born from above. And I'm no longer the person I was before new birth. What a blessed assurance. And what insurance we have in this union with Christ. I pray you will treasure your union and not take it lightly. Christ gave himself to bring you back to God. He died that you might be free from the tyranny of sin. And because of this union, your life should be different. Out of gratitude, out of thanksgiving for all he's done for you. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is clear about this union that we, your people, have with your Son. It's inseparable. It's so delightful. You, through your Son, redeemed us and called us holy. And for this we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.